In the name of God, Father, Mother, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In the 8th chapter of Mark's Gospel, our Gospel reading from today, Jesus is teaching. Seems that in the Synoptic Gospels, at least in the first part of the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus is always teaching or walking. And often he is walking and teaching. And those who are following behind are sort of running to catch up with his words, which is sort of the way we are. In the teaching today, Jesus says first to his disciples, "The Son of Man," referring to himself, "will suffer, be rejected by the religious." Note again in the Gospels how often Jesus has problems with the religious. "Be rejected by the religious and be killed." Now, he says this to a group of disciples who were mostly former fisher people who had pretty much left everything to follow him because they believed he was going to establish a new movement that would mean a much better life for them. He says he's going to be killed. They are shocked. And Peter, who is often the most outspoken of this group, Peter takes him aside and says to him very clearly, "Listen, I know you're the leader, but you've got to stop saying such crazy stuff. You know what's going to happen if people hear this? We're going to lose the few followers that we have, and we aren't going to get any more." Jesus responds by saying to Peter, "You are a demon. Get behind me. You are the temptation that we all face." And then Jesus goes back out and he addresses both the disciples and the crowd. And he does not soften the message, but he applies it to them. He says, "Listen, if you want to be my follower, you must take up your cross and follow me. If you want to be my follower, you must be willing to die in order to live. If you want to be my follower, you must be willing to go through suffering and rejection, because that's the only way, like Peter, that you're going to have the transformed mind that you need to be a truly human person in this world in which we live." Is that clear? If you want to save your life, you have to lose the old one. And giving that up is not the easiest thing in the world. Scott Peck was a brilliant psychiatrist. He was also a very gifted writer. His book, The Road Less Traveled, was on the New York Times best-selling list for longer than any other book in modern history. He wrote many books. I highly recommend his book, The People of the Lie, People of the Lie. I always felt like I knew Scott Peck because I was the spiritual director for his spiritual director.
a nun of the Order of St. Helena in Upper New York State. And after we had met in spiritual direction, she would often tell me something about what Scotty, as she called him, was doing, what he was writing, what he was thinking, and we would talk about his work. Our paths, Scott Peck's paths and mine, crossed several times at St. Helena's convent. I remember him saying once that his book, The Road Less Traveled, which sold more books than any other book had ever sold in the New York Times list, I asked him what he heard most about that book. He said that people would often say to him that the opening line transformed their lives. The opening line to that book was, "Life is hard. Life is hard." Scotty also used to say that one of the big mistakes we make as human beings is that we don't realize why we need other people. And he said, a primary reason we need other people is for friction. Got that? The primary reason that we need other people is for friction. And he said, now I know that friction creates heat, and we don't like to have too much heat in our lives, but friction, you have to remember, also polishes metal. Friction sands down the rough edges of our lives, and that we never get really polished as human beings if we live most of our lives seeking to avoid friction. Now, Scotty was talking about creative friction, not destructive friction, and those are very different things. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas, who may be the most brilliant theologian who ever lived, made certain kinds of distinctions that he said were very, very important. He said there was a really great distinction between the oppressor who said, "I will use all my power to keep you oppressed," and the oppressed who said, "I will use all my power to become free." So those are two different kinds of realities. Well, there is friction that promotes growth, and that's what Scotty was talking about. There is also friction that is just destructive, and we all know that. Friction we need in our lives. Parish churches should be places where we experience friction. Parish churches should be places where we encounter people who think differently than we do, where we encounter people who do not always agree with us. And sometimes that friction can transform us. I lived and worked in the Dominican Republic along with my family during a very violent time. There were death squads that operated in our neighborhood, and they would often kill members of my youth group or our youth group and leave the dead bodies of the young people on my doorsteps. It was horrible. And I used to talk about the members of these death squads and how I wish they all were dead. One day, a woman who was a member of that parish, she made her living by selling little boxes of chewing gum outside the school each day to kids. She came to me and she said, "Father Atkins, I want to tell you something." Now, this woman could not read or write very well. She said to me, "You have a spiritual problem." She said, "Jesus taught us that we must learn to love our enemies. And you keep talking about how you wish all these death squad people would be killed." She said, that's not practicing what Jesus taught. And you need to be changed. Or she said, that hatred will damage your soul forever. We need people. We need people who confront us, who tell us the truth about our lives. The gospel that we hear read in church every Sunday is a form of friction. We listen to it and it calls us to transform our values. Calls us to become new people. It calls us to lose our old life. Many people think that parish churches should be places where conflict does not exist. That religion should be a place where nice people are simply becoming nicer. But unless we are challenged, unless we are confronted, we do not grow. Jesus was a friend of Peter's. And he said to him, you're a demon. Get behind me. We are now in the season of Lent. A season that calls us to face into our reality. The reality of our personal lives, the reality of the world in which we live. You know, the absence of conflict can lead to deception. I once was leading a retreat, and this woman kept talking about how ever since she had turned her life over to the care of God, she no longer experienced anger, and that she used to be a very angry person. Many people in that group said, you need to thank God for that. Finally, she asked me what I thought about it, and I said I thought she was lying, at which point she picked up a book and threw it at me and said, you obviously don't understand anything about spiritual development. The absence of conflict can lead to deception. Lead to deception. During the season of Lent, we need to hear the words that Jesus spoke. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Now, taking up your cross, and we need to be very clear about this, does not mean we get a coal when we're leaving on our vacation day. It doesn't mean that we have an annoying boss. Taking up your cross is what happens to you as a result of following Jesus. It's what happens when you become a person for others. It's what happens when you become a justice-loving person in an unjust world. It's what happens when you begin to pay attention to the reality of the world in which you live. We are now engaged in a great, great common sin against our Mother Earth. We are the last generation that can save our planet. Do you get that? We are the last generation that can save our planet. Every day we see realities, whether they are wildfires that burn half of central Chile, whether they're the disappearing California coast, or the reality we avoid the most, is what's happening. As the earth and the poor cry out. The country of Ethiopia, this has gone through a very violent war in the last several years, now experiencing a dreadful drought. They have no water. Estimates are that in the next year, 300,000 children could starve to death in one country, And most of us don't even know that reality. We need to hear the cry of the earth. We need to hear the cry of the poor. We need to realize that we need to be transformed. Great Danish theologian Søren Kierkegaard in the 19th century said he was greatly surprised whenever a part of the eighth chapter of Mark was read in church, which we heard today. He was greatly surprised that half the people didn't get up and walk out, because Jesus was very clear. If you want to be my follower, this is what you have to do. If you want to be my follower, this is what you have to do. You have to hear the cry of the earth. And you have to, as Pope Francis has so well taught us, be willing to have a spiritual conversion. A conversion that means you begin to live in a new way. You begin to live in a new way. And one of the basic ways that you can begin to live in a new way is you simply talk with people you know about our common home and what's happening to it. You simply ask people if they want their great-grandchildren to live. You simply talk to people that this is the last generation we have to save the planet. This is a season of Lent, a season that calls us to conversion, a season that calls us to hear what Jesus said. If you gain the whole world, if you have the big house, the big car, if you have the whole world and lose your soul, you have lost life. Let us pray that we will hear the hard words, that we will become those people that St. Paul says, hope against hope, or in other places calls prisoners of hope. Let us pray that we may become those people. Let us pray that we will be willing to have a transformed mind and not fear the friction. Not fear the friction. Let there be peace among us. And let us never be instruments of our own or anyone else's oppression, and especially of the earth's oppression.